Shall we turn again to Colossians? I'd like to repeat verses 6 and 7 again. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted, built up, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I'm so glad that we've heard the announcement of our dear brother and sister celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary. We congratulate them. My wife and I have been married a little bit longer than that. But you know, I look back and sometimes think of this long walk we have had, and particularly the early days of that walk, when we used to take walks together. They seemed far too short. Well, we thank the Lord for a walk which has continued on for so many years. And that's what I'd like to talk to you a little bit about today, this question of walk, as ye have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk ye in him. Now, during the last few weeks here at the chapel, we have had some excellent ministry on this very subject, although I don't think that those who gave the ministry mentioned the word walk, but they were encouraging us to find ways of loving our Lord Jesus Christ more than we do. And I thank the Lord for that ministry. This morning I would like to dwell on the other side of that subject. And that is, what about those who are not walking? Presumably they did walk once, but they're not walking now. You know, the Bible has a good deal to say about this subject in one way or another, and we have both sides of it. And I'd like to present the other side. Maybe you won't agree with me, but I've had a good deal of experience, and that is why I'm bringing this subject to you, because I believe the Lord laid it upon my heart. You know, if you take that beautiful story of the walk to Emmaus, and I don't know how many times I've read it because I love it, you have those two perplexed disciples. And they were very much burdened. You remember how the Lord Jesus joined them? And how he asked them what they were talking about, and of course, he knew too well. And then, as the story goes on, they ended their walk, and as the bread was broken, at their frugal meal, they recognized him as the one who hung upon the cross. And you know, they said two things. Did not our heart burn within us as he conversed with us and as he opened to us the scripture? Two things that are necessary for a walk with the Lord. To converse is prayer, and the study of the scriptures has, of course, never changed. It has been the Christian's bulwark against failure through these many years. You remember that said of Enoch, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. And that makes us feel that his walk must have been perfect. But the first thing I'd like to say to you today is that I don't think that there is such a thing as a perfect walk with the Lord. You say, why do you say that? Because the Apostle Paul said that in me dwelleth no good thing. And as long as we are, as we are in a sinful body and in a sinful world, we're going to have trouble maintaining that walk. So what Enoch did, or how he enjoyed that walk, we do not know. But the scriptures tell us it ended up in the presence of God. And that's what it is with us today. You know, I look back to the time when I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I was 12 years old, about the age when boys and girls begin to be troubled about some things. And I remember that after I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, there was much joy in my life. I look back upon that, and I thank Him for those days. But I was soon aware that it wasn't always going to be that way. Because the influences that young people find in the world, and that at that time, they weren't nearly as bad as they are today. And I began to realize in a general way that it wasn't going to be too easy to walk with the Lord. Nor has it been. But I think I can say humbly that most of my life since my conversion has been walking with the Lord. Well, if the Apostle Paul could say, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, so can I. But as long as I am, as I am, I shall be dependent upon the Lord for His help. A dear missionary friend of mine was taken seriously ill. And after he recovered, he made a public confession to his wife and to two or three other missionaries. But the Lord had sent this illness to bring him back to himself. As you say, here is a man who has been known as a gospel preacher, and God blessed him. But he confessed that he had lost his love for the Lord's service. I don't know how many others there are like that, but I do know that it's something which is quite common. Well, let's look at another illustration. I was listening to Moody one day, and I do enjoy much of what we hear there and the time we're able to give to it. And it happened to be a question and answer period. And a young lady wrote in. She said, when I was converted, oh, what joy filled my heart. She said, "I'm not so happy today." She was given some very worthwhile instruction. But there you have an example of what happens sometimes in the life of believers. Well, you remember that there's nothing new about this. The Apostle Paul said, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present evil world." And so here you have it recorded in the pages of Scripture for all to read. That Demas ended, we trust temporarily, his walk with the Lord. One day I was talking to a brother and he was mentioning to me a sister who was in the meeting, that is, in fellowship. She didn't come very often to the Lord's Supper, communion supper, because she said it's too boring. She was away from the Lord and didn't know it. Now, if the communion service is too boring for you, there's something wrong. Because we're there to think about our blessed Lord Jesus Christ as we did this morning. Well, let me give you one more illustration, and that is from Africa. I said to you from this platform several times that if you're going to be a missionary, you're going to have to learn to love the people, whether you like it or not. And eventually we find we do love them very much. Not a question of you like it or not. And in my early days, when I was trying hard to learn the language, I used to go to a village. The name of the village was Muzea. And when I came, Muzea stood up and greeted me. And I liked that man. He was a tall, good-looking African. He would go around and tell all the people, "Now you have to lay down your word. The Bwana has come to give you the words of God." So after a while, we had perhaps 20 people or so, and I gave what I could. Most of it memorized verses from the Word of God. Well, Muzea must have been a very good Christian. No. He had been in fellowship. Decided for some reason or other to leave the things of the Lord. There he was. He wasn't antagonistic. He was very helpful. I got to know him quite well before he died, and I realized that he had no desire to come back. None at all. And I was there when he was laid to rest. I still mourn him. I trust that he was a born-again believer. There he was, gotten away from the Lord. Well, there you have a missionary. There you have an African. And many like that. And missionaries are very concerned. One missionary said, "You know, there are almost as many people who go out the back door as come in the front." And he was vitally concerned. Yeah. Well, what are we going to do about this? Well, there's nothing I can do about Muzea. There's nothing I could have done. because he knew all the answers. He had been in fellowship for quite a while. As you know, the Word of God makes it very, very clear to us that we can find out whether we are walking with the Lord or not. We have to turn, of course, to those passages, with the passage which you know so well, Galatians chapter 6. And I know a dear sister, and perhaps what I'm saying to you may come from what she said. She said she read this portion every day of her life. And here it is. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that isn't for me. I don't do any of those things, and I'm quite certain that all of you here could say the same. I don't do those things. What's the sense of reading? Well, they're there. And as I hope to tell you a little later on, they come into the lives of believers. Well, we'll read on. But, one of those wonderful buts in the Word of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Well, you say, well, I do all of those things too. Or so I think. Yes. How much do we love others? Well, I've had problems with that. Because sometimes it's very hard to love some people. They get on your nerves. They're not strictly honest. We say to ourselves, it's all right. If he's going to act like that, I don't care. I don't have to love him. Oh, yes, you do. That's what this Word of God says here. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It didn't say will be. It says it is. Yes. Well, it's a bit of a problem. But something we have to think about. I knew two men who attended the same church service. I presume both of them were professing Christians. And they literally hated each other. Maybe it'd be better to say disliked. They never spoke to one another. They were both away from the Lord. Neither of them could be accused of any of the things we have read here in verses 10 and 11, but there they were. If one went in one door, the other chose the other. Yes. Away from the Lord. But supposing someone had said, oh no, I'm walking with the Lord. Well, they were. Then we have this question here of joy. And in our discussions that we've had, which were very ably led, this question of joy in the life of a believer has been brought up. And I've enjoyed the ministry. And I been reminded, that sometimes I have been anything else but joy, or showing forth joy. And I've known of some Christians who are very able in the Word of God, but you'd think a tragedy happened in their lives every day. Long faces. No evidence of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ or His joy in their heart. Well, you say, that doesn't concern me. I'm full of joy all the time. Well, I'm not. But I realize that every time that I fail the Lord in this way, I am not walking with Him. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No, it's impossible. Well, there's one other I don't intend to go through these, and that is peace. Well, I haven't had to go through serious tragedy. I have talked with people, Africans and Europeans, and I've admired the way they've reacted under severe tragedy. Peace. They demonstrate that peace. And perhaps we would come out a little bit better. On this, I really don't know. I don't want tragedy. And I trust the Lord will give me grace for the days to come. Well, let's go along a little bit further. We have that now that we don't have to look very far in the Word of God to see how we're looking. It's right there. There are other things that I could mention here, but we won't take time for that because our time is passing. Well, you know, there's one thing I've noticed here at Bethany. It's no criticism. We very rarely have any ministry about sleep. I'm sure that those who preach the word have been given that word of the Lord. So I'm not criticizing. But you know, we want to remember this. The work of Satan is to destroy all of Christ that he can. The work of Satan is to destroy all of Christ that he can. If he could, he would obliterate him. But we have the Holy Spirit working on the other side. Well, I've seen that happen so much in Africa, and it's bothered me. It's driven me to tears to see how Satan has destroyed temporarily one believer and then another. You see, he's at work. You know, there's one thing that many of us don't notice, and that is that when we read the Word of God, there are occasionally references which we just pass over. You remember when the Lord Jesus was tempted 40 days and 40 nights? The Word of God tells us that Satan departed from him. And if you read in one of the Gospels, and I can't remember which now, And that has these words, for a season. Do you think that was the only temptation the Lord had to suffer from Satan? I'm sure Satan was very busy there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'm sure he was busy at other times. You remember how the Pharisees provoked our Lord, if I can use that word advisedly, trying to get him to say something so that he would condemn himself. And who was behind that? Satan was there. Yes. Well, there it is. And you know, Peter tells us, your adversary. That's how he begins the word. Not a adversary, but your adversary. Yes. Is the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And as I've told you, it's one of the burdens of a missionary to see people brought down. Yes? Well, I could tell you many who haven't, who have withstood the temptations of Satan and come through, but others are afraid. And then you have that interesting verse, 2 Corinthians, lest Satan should get the advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his device. The Apostle Paul knew only too well something of the work of Satan. Yes. And that's what he wrote. And you remember how the Lord took this matter really seriously when it came to
Peter.
Satan hath desired to have thee, that he might sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for you. And you remember, he came very close to it. Three times Peter denied the Lord. The very one who said, I'll go with you.
Back
you up and fight for you. Three times.
He became a cringing troll.
I know not the man. Yes. Well, he didn't win.
In those
verses, that
verse,
I have prayed
for you.
I've already told you about Moselle, and I was thinking the other day about the verse that Paul wrote to Timothy, flee these things. I argued once with a brother, and I said that Paul wrote that because the Holy Spirit had guided him to write them to Timothy, because Timothy needed.
We didn't agree. You didn't agree with me.
Because he said, Paul wrote, I have no other like-minded. So how could those refer to Timothy?
But I still believe that they do.
Paul knew that Timothy needed those things.
Flee these things.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
he obviously did. Because
as far as we know, he remained a faithful servant of the Lord until the time of his death. You know, Luther didn't have to be told that Satan was
trying to destroy him.
In fact, when he traveled back from toward Wittenberg, he expected to lose his life. But his friend, really, leader of Germany, that arranged for him to be kidnapped and put in the Wartburg. And Luther, being Luther, got busy and translated the New Testament into German from the Greek, which he had learned from his friend Melanchthon.
Yes.
But they tell us that in the Wartburg there was a place on the wall where there had been a large ink spot. The devil taunted Luther, so he, being Luther, threw the ink pot out and left this big mark on the wall. And during the course of the years, souvenir hunters took it all away. Well, we can see what was happening there. The one thing that the devil did not want was the translation of the Bible into German. You know, if I had the time, we could go over and brought the English Bible. The devil haunted Tyndall until eventually he lost his life. But not before Tyndall had done most of his work. Yes. And John Bunyan was very, very conscious of the presence of Satan. He mentions in it in his book, if you've ever read that book,
The City of Man's
Soul,
you realize something of what he went through.
So we have here in God's Word
and in illustration the fact that Satan is trying to destroy every one of us.
The one thing that bothers me,
that is that sometimes those who have risen to great heights
in the Christian world have been brought down.
There was a student at Moody that was very
devout, that's all we thought. Man, certainly a great person with young people. And then one day he destroyed a woman. Fornication.
The Institute was highly embarrassed.
Yes. And I remember in the city of Buffalo, there was
the Churchill Tabernacle.
It was one of these first
attempts
at bringing radio to the mass people.
He did a really good job. He was an excellent preacher.
And then he got into the world.
Let me tell you, from what I've heard from other people, if you're going to get into finances with
converted people, watch out. And eventually, these men got
his
radio station
away from
him, one of the first in the country. The sheriff came and put a lock on the door.
was that that was, of course, many years ago. He was like everybody else. He was busy smoking cigars. His testimony had gone. Well, it needn't have been that way. Well, now what Satan wants, and that is, keep us in the world. Keep us in the world. Compromise the word. I once spoke from this platform, and I made the remark that you cannot join the gospel of Jesus Christ with anything else, because there is no other gospel. But the world would want us to do that.
You heard
something of that this morning in our Bible lesson. Yes? That's what happened. Well,
two things more, and I hope to
address those in another
message,
Lord willing. How are we going to keep ourselves? The road to Emmaus tells us
prayer
and the
study of the word.
And where those engage prayerfully, continuously, as far as possible, we're not in any great danger of being away from the Lord. But as I've already said, our time is up. Let's leave that part of the subject to another time. Now may the Lord help us. I often say that I don't preach a message unless it's from the Lord to me. And I've thought about this good deal. The Lord has enabled me to give it to you. I hope I haven't offended anyone who really given you facts. It hasn't been a scold. It's something we need to think about. May the Lord have blessing to his word. We thank you, Lord, Heavenly Father, for all you have meant to us through your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, for all you have done for us. We look back over the years. We thank you.
You
kept us.
You loved us.
Look forward to that day we shall be in your blessed presence. Grant until that day comes that we shall be found busy feeding ourselves on your word
and giving
time praise. Lord, strengthen us in these things we ask.
Bless those
who are not with us. There are some who are
alone,
some who are away on vacation, back safely, Lord. And we ask
you, Lord,
especially those who are not well. We thank you for your abiding presence with them.
Lord,
for we are things in the name of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.